Oh, that's right. Continuation of the I Love Ann show. And this morning, my very special guest here this morning is the one and only Jim Bohannon. He was working last night. He was working this morning. And now he's on the line with us here today. How you doing, Jim Bohannon?
I'm doing just fine, Ann Eller. How are you?
I'm good. You've been a busy night last night with the debate, huh?
Oh, yes, it was certainly interesting. I didn't even realize that fantasy football was a major presidential issue.
Yeah, I saw that, and of course, Chris Christie had to come back with a comment on that one, huh?
Oh, yes. There were a lot of good comments last night. Probably the best ones came from Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz.
Yeah, what did you think about? There was a lot of conversation about the media and the host of the debates and everything. What did you think about their attack on the media last night?
Well, unfortunately, it was probably deserved. I mean, really, the Democratic debate the other night pretty much consisted of tell us how wonderful your ideas are. And this debate consisted pretty much of why don't you and you over there pick a fight with each other? I thought it was not really what it should have been. I was rather disappointed.
Yeah, I thought Cruz lost the opportunity to talk about the question that he was asked and took the time to do that, I thought that was pretty gutsy right there.
Well, it was gutsy. I don't know that it necessarily. I mean, then he demanded additional time to answer the original question. I mean, what you're talking about are 10 people, most of whom probably had written on their grade school report card, doesn't play well with others, so.
Yeah, we could discuss what does it take to be a president and what type of characteristics are developed early in life, right?
It would be interesting, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would be.
You know, I thought Trump, though, with his, he's, what did he say? He was very trusting.
Oh, yeah, his biggest weakness. He's too trusting, but if he's ever messed over by somebody in terms of trust, he never forgives. I thought Trump would probably answer, my biggest mistake was, well, I once thought I had been mistaken, but it turns out I was mistaken on that. So.
And we need the drum on that one. We need the drum on that one, Jim. Ba-bum, ba-bum.
There you go, a little rim shot there, absolutely.
Yeah, so, but overall, I know last time we talked, you were kind of thinking that Rubio would be good. How are you feeling about how Rubio did last night?
Oh, I thought he was the star of the show, honestly. Carly Fiorina, after two great debates, I didn't think did all that much. I thought Rubio probably had the best night of all, especially when he took down a peg his mentor, Jeb Bush.
On the working and missing votes in the Senate.
Missing votes, right, and that. And unfortunately, the worst performance probably just by virtue of what he needed to do was Jeb. I mean, Jeb is just not the kind of guy who goes for the jugular, and unfortunately, debates have made this largely a contest of glibness, and glibness really isn't the litmus test of leadership, but we treat it as though it is, and that's going to hurt Jeb, that and his name.
Yeah, do you think that Jeb is done?
I'm sorry?
Do you think Jeb is done? Jeb Bush is done?
No, I don't think he's done at all. He has too much money, and he still has middle-of-the-pack support. So, no, he's not done. But it's hard for me to imagine how he'll make it through Iowa. He'll make it through New Hampshire, South Carolina. But after that, unless he's got at least a second-place finish in there somewhere, then you have to start asking just what rationale does he have for continuing. And at this juncture, it's hard to see him coming in. He might get a second place in New Hampshire, but otherwise he just isn't showing.
What do you think about Rand Paul?
Well, first of all, I don't really care for Rand Paul. He's too much like his father, and I certainly don't care about a man who once said, "Why can't we just get along with the Taliban, the people who harbored Osama bin Laden while he was planning the 9/11 attacks?" I don't think he's doing well, and frankly, I'm glad.
Well, ask the question this way. Do you think out of this debate there's going to be anybody dropping out in the next week, 2 weeks?
Well, certainly there ought to be. Frankly, to be really honest about it, with 3 months to go before the Iowa caucuses, everybody at the junior debate really ought to drop out. Who really believes at this juncture that you're going to see George Pataki, Lindsey Graham, Bobby Jindal, Rick Santorum on a national ticket? Santorum, of course, last time was number two in total delegates and actually won the Iowa caucuses 4 years ago, but he's just not catching fire this time. So it's a case of whether you're running a vanity campaign or you're running a campaign in which you want to become the presidential nominee.
Yeah, I have never figured out why Lindsey Graham is staying in the race.
Well, when you can't even register in the top three or whatever it is in South Carolina, when a majority, in fact a big majority, as I recall, of South Carolinians surveyed don't want him to run for president, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, but I think he's enjoying the stage is what I'm getting out of this. He likes being able to get his opinions, and, you know, he really is the only candidate out there that is pushing national security. He is tough on...
Oh, I agree with what he's saying on national security. I wish that more people would agree with him, and I'm glad that he's spreading the message. But from a practical standpoint, I don't believe that he is he's going anywhere.
Yes, I agree on that one.
And the public certainly doesn't want to hear this obligations that we have overseas type of thing. You know, that's the last thing the public wants to hear. He's spreading a very unpopular message, so it's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. Now, what about Trump and Carson?
Well, of course, those are your two front runners. Carson in the latest national poll having supplanted Trump slightly, but they're both just head and shoulders above everybody else. Trump was a little more subdued. He wasn't the focus of every exchange last night. He had a few zingers, which have become his trademark, but in the main, I thought he faded into the background. Carson was okay, but sooner or later, I think that the mild-mannered approach is going to wear thin on voters, which is unfortunate. I think that that's the sign, I suppose, of a mature adult, but then again, I'm not sure the public's interested in electing a mature adult. So I would have to say of Trump and Carson, I didn't think either one of them really buttressed their support any. On the other hand, they're so far out in front, and they didn't make any major gaffes, so they're going to stay far out in front. But the people who really, I thought, made a move, Rubio and Ted Cruz.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Now, you know, about lifting this debt ceiling and Boehner's last big negotiation here, what do you think about that, Jim?
Well, first of all, he doesn't have to worry about anybody else because he's leaving Congress, not only the speakership, but Congress itself before the week is out. It's probably a gift that he gave to Paul Ryan. Ryan doesn't have to worry about it. In fact, the entire Congress doesn't have to worry about this until after the next election. Having said that, at some point, we're going to have to confront the fact that one continuing resolution after another without a budget is a terrible way to run government. And at some point, we're going to have to be dragged kicking and screaming to the reality that we must make priorities and we must pay for what we want. And if it costs too much, then we have to decide if we want it badly enough. And we unfortunately have discovered that magic trick known as take everything we want, pay for none of it, and let our kids and grandkids pay for it.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that it seems like while it probably was a good thing, it seems like kind of a sellout to just go ahead. And what does this do for President Obama?
Oh, the thing that, of course, the thing that John Boehner knows and a lot of other people know, too, and that is that every time there is a government shutdown, that Republicans get blamed for it, and Republicans wind up losing support and probably therefore losing seats in the next election. Until Republicans can find a way to explain to the public what's really at stake, then politically this was a smart move. I'm simply saying from a governance point of view, at some point, the public, if you can find enough of the public who care, the public has got to demand that we stop doing this and we start paying for what we want. And again, if we don't want it badly enough to pay for it, then we don't get it. It's like how the rest of us live our lives.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, but sometimes you just get, I think, a little tired of this. And I thought it was an interesting story out there about the guy who is creating his own nation. Have you heard about this within the United States?
Who's trying to create his own country within the United States?
Yes, yes, Jim.
I hear about these periodically, but I guess I missed the latest version of that. Who is this guy and where is he?
His name is Zag Landsberg, and he's created his own country outside of in Utah, and it's called Zakistan.
Huh.
And he's created a motto for the land, something from nothing.
Well, that's very cute, and I'm sure it'll be a subject of great fun at parties in the area, but I don't think I would care to be Zach not paying his taxes.
Well,
or not obeying zoning laws or whatever else Zach might plan to do with this little hobby of his.
Well,
he's a curiosity, but I mean, I'm not sure what else he is.
Well, he's created his own yellow and red flag. He's got,
isn't that precious?
official looking passports, and a border patrol gate guarded by a giant robot sentry.
Well, as I said, I'm sure you can probably make a small-time tourist industry out of this. You ought to open up a shop with toys and the like.
Let's see. He's got a four-acre piece of land equipped with a supply bunker. he says he understands he's not actually going to become a country, but he's just experimenting with it and having a good time. He does pay property taxes to Box Elder County, which is about 160 miles north of Salt Lake City.
Uh-huh. And well, if I were a Zach, I would continue doing that.
That's right. And he said he refers to the payments as tributes.
Whatever.
Yep.
I guess he can call it what he wants.
Yep.
I mean.
So he is trying to, but what do you think? You know, other places have tried this. I just thought that was an interesting little story out there.
Well, it is kind of an interesting little story. Last, of course, time we tried this on a serious basis was 150 years ago, and that didn't work out too well. So I don't really think that's going to happen.
Well, every once in a while, South Carolina decides they might like to secede from the nation.
Well, I think, as I say, the last time probably settled the issue, I would imagine.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But the other story that I thought was rather interesting, you know, down here in South Carolina, we really like our guns. You know that.
Absolutely. Me too.
That's right. Well, did you hear the story about the South Carolina man that's been arrested who had stashed an arsenal of up to 10,000 mostly stolen guns at his home?
Well, I'd call that a bit of a mistake on his part.
He had mountains of rifles and handguns. They were stacked at his home and in a nearby storage facility. They also.
From whom did he steal these things? Surely, 10,000 guns, it would take you a lot of time and effort to steal those one at a time. Was he lifting things out of warehouses, or how did he get them?
I don't know. It says hundreds more weapons were found at a liquor store that he runs with his father.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, you know, guns and booze, what could go wrong?
He also had crossbows, ammunition, and more than 500 chainsaws, Jim.
Chainsaws, too.
Yes, this gentleman also had crossbows, ammunition.
Crossbows and chainsaws.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I mean, you know, you should always be well-armed. I mean, that could make for quite a Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
500 of them, no less, yes.
500. Well, you know, it's always a bummer when you run out of chainsaws, isn't it? Don't you hate that? I do.
Yeah, that's why, you know, normally people might have two, but 500, Jim? And, you know, the thing about
Well, you never want to be out. You know, you always want to have plenty. And plus, they make wonderful stocking stuffers, too.
Yeah. It's about time somebody thought about a chainsaw as a stocking stuffer.
That's right.
I mean, a lump of coal just doesn't do it in today's world.
Well, it really doesn't, seriously. Chainsaws are the way to go. I do believe that, Ann.
Well, anyways, the police up there are cataloging all the guns. They said they needed a 40-foot long tractor trailer truck to haul away all the weapons. I thought that
was... I mean, again, the real issue here has to be, where did he get them? And was he stealing warehouse full of these things, or has this guy been busy every single night breaking into a home? It's just kind of interesting how he would amass that much of an arsenal.
Well, he's 51. I guess he's been doing it for years.
Yeah, it sounds like something he's been doing ever since he gave up that paper route.
Yeah, maybe that's where it started, Jim, the paper route.
That's probably it. That's where it started, right there.
Yep. Throw a paper, take a gun. I mean, what a concept.
What a concept. there are lots of strange people in the world. Lots of strange people.
Well, we try to keep them within our borders here, but sometimes these stories just leak out in the news. I just don't understand it.
Well, thank goodness for those of us in the media who like interesting things to talk about, that we have a lot of strange people among our 315 million of us here.
Yes, exactly. It's just like, yeah. Well, you know, I found another story I thought you might like. Did you hear about the guy whose name is actually Santa Claus has been elected to the North Pole City Council?
I heard about that, North Pole happening to be a suburb of Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yes.
I did, and he got his name legally changed. He used to be the head of the Chamber of Commerce there.
Right.
And my guess is that all of his campaign workers took Elfies after his victory.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah. I thought that one was a neat story. And my last story I wanted to share with you this morning was, did you hear about the roadkill dinner that's going to happen in Vermont?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Okay. They're going to have a supper up there in Burlington, Vermont, and they will be a chef up there will be charging $75, and on the menu will be beer, but there'll be deer, bear, moose, and muskrat, all roadkill.
All roadkill. Well, there's nothing I like better than venison in Prestone sauce. They should make sure they don't puncture any radiators.
There you go. I just thought, you know, down here in South Carolina, we used to have a place out there at our lake out there, and he used to come around and serve to new people to the area. It was roadkill, and people would taste it, and he'd have just a little bit, and then afterwards you found out it really wasn't roadkill, but he used to have everybody going that he was serving you roadkill at the restaurant out here on the lake.
Cute.
Yeah, it was cute. A lot of fun.
Well, I mean, I know my father one time hit a deer, and the state just about totaled his car. The state trooper who stopped, the first thing he said was, "Are you okay?" Second thing he said was, "Do you want the carcass?" This area was just filled with deer. They had a deal the school district did with the local meat locker, and I guess the kids ate venison about 2 days a week and saved a lot on the budget for the school system. So, hey.
Hey, that's a good thing. And today, with all the laws and everything, that wouldn't be able to happen.
Probably somebody would find a reason why that couldn't happen.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So what other interesting things are out there that you are following or thinking that you want to follow up on?
Well, we're going to have a pretty good program tomorrow night, a pre-Halloween program Friday night on the Jim Bohannon Show. We're going to have on Mighty John Marshall, the guy who has all those values of records. We're going to look at the most valuable Halloween records. And before that, we're going to have on a guy named Dick Dizel. That's his real name. He goes by Count Gore Duvall. He's one of these late-night creature feature movie hosts with the vampire makeup and all.
Right.
So I think that should be a lot of fun on All Hallows Eve Eve on Friday night here on WCRS.
Yeah, that'll be a good one to tune into. Have you
I think so.
Have you got any Halloween plans there, Jim?
I'll be traveling, actually, so nothing of any particular note. I'll be in Janesville, Wisconsin, and enjoying Halloween up there where it's a little colder than it is in our areas.
Well, will you be taking a costume is what I was thinking.
Elements of a costume. I found three things that I might possibly wear. I found a stocking cap that has antlers on it, like a moose, or a court jester's cap, or I have a Darth Vader helmet. So it's going to be among those.
Well, that sounds good, Jim. We'll be right down here in Greenwood. We've got some good events going on here. And as always, I sure appreciate you calling in and sharing with us here this morning, Jim Bohannon of The Jim Bohannon Show.
Always a pleasure, Ann Eller. Thank you so much.
All right. You have a great one.
You too now.
All righty. Bye-bye.